It's Monday, the 23rd of September, and this is the Monocle Minute. Today, another week of campaigning gets underway in Canada, but has Prime Minister Justin Trudeau recovered from last week's PR disaster?
Justin Trudeau's response to the controversy will ultimately, in my mind, allow his campaign to move forward from it.
Hong Kong's embattled leader has a new idea on how to change public opinion in the city-state. Thousands take to the streets around the world to demand climate action. And we hear about an international investor with its eyes on Greece's hotels. I'm Carlotta Ribello in Los Angeles. The Monocle Minute starts now. It was quite a week for Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. His apologies for the images that showed him in racially insensitive makeup have continued this past weekend. So, as a new week of campaigning ahead of the general election in Canada gets underway today, Monocle's bureau chief in Toronto, Thomas Lewis, has this assessment of what the campaigns might look like in the week to come.
Next tonight, hear the blackface scandal involving Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. A new image today. There are now several. Trudeau apologizing. He called it racist and talked about privilege when he was young. A month to go in the election in Canada.
When Justin Trudeau next faces reporters and Canadian voters, the whole country will likely be leaning in. There is a major new development this hour as the Liberal leader and his advisors are deciding the next move. Another image of Trudeau wearing what appears to be blackface. It is the fourth similar image now to have come to light in the past 24 hours.
The offensive photos emerge of the Prime Minister in brown and blackface. We have breaking news with a third photograph and all the impact this is going to have on the federal election. The Trudeau campaign is in damage control mode this hour, rocked by three separate occasions, photographs of the Prime Minister wearing brown or blackface. The Liberal leader has apologized, but his judgment and credibility among voters are in question today.
Another prominent Liberal caught in a racist photo scandal. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau facing a firestorm over wearing a blackface in a 2001 photo.
Moments ago, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau publicly apologizing for a series of racist photos and a video showing him wearing dark face makeup. That video shows Trudeau in the early 90s. It was obtained by CNN partner Global News. A reporter received the video from a source within Canada's Conservative Party. Now, Trudeau, of course, is part of the Liberal Party. National elections are just weeks away.
Last week is certainly a week that Justin Trudeau will be glad to see behind him. The storm over the three photographs and one video published by various outlets last week that depicted Canada's Prime Minister in younger days donning fancy dress that included brown face makeup at various social events was the kind of political gift political opponents to a sitting leader can only ever really dream of, particularly during an already tightly contested general election campaign. And Trudeau's opponents are certainly and understandably trying to wring every last drop of political advantage they can from the story.
Like all Canadians, I was extremely shocked and disappointed when I learned of Justin Trudeau's actions this evening. Wearing brown face is an act of open mockery and racism. It was just as racist in 2001 as it is in 2019. And what Canadians saw this evening is someone with a complete lack of judgment and integrity, and someone who's not fit to govern this country. Comme tous les Canadiens.
Despite the wall-to-wall coverage of the controversy here in Canada and its presence across the front pages of newspapers and breaking news tickers on television screens around the world, opinion polls here in Canada, taken in the immediate aftermath of the publication of the images, suggest that it might not be the final nail in the coffin of Justin Trudeau's ambition for a second term in office that the understandably exclamatory news coverage of it might have suggested. The needle of public approval has, at this stage at least, barely nudged. It is worth noting that Justin Trudeau's personal approval ratings had dwindled for some time long before last week's controversy, leaving him effectively neck and neck with Andrew Scheer, the leader of the Progressive Conservative Party, who, in turn, hasn't made the gains one might expect of an opposition leader campaigning against an incumbent whose popularity was already on the wane. Justin Trudeau's response to the controversy will ultimately, in my mind, allow his campaign to move forward from it.
Darkening your face, regardless of the context or the circumstances, is always unacceptable because of the racist history of blackface. I should have understood that then, and I never should have done it.
It was an apology in stark contrast to his reaction to another scandal that consumed his government earlier this year, that surrounding his former Attorney General, Jody Wilson-Raybould, and the legal case against Quebec's SNC-Lavalin engineering firm. The fallout from that was handled less than expertly from a political PR point of view, and in many ways galvanised an idea of mistrust of Trudeau and his government. But if last week's events do ebb, what will be on the agenda this week as campaigning continues? All parties have already swung focus towards two specific corners of the electorate. Younger voters, who turned out in droves last time around and were a significant factor in Trudeau's election win 4 years ago, and older voters too. Tax credits for retirees in some form or another were unveiled by the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party here in Canada last week. The economy, jobs, the environment, and, of course, immigration will also feature heavily this week as candidates continue to crisscross their constituencies and the political leaders stump across the country. Whether the shadows of last week's controversy continue to linger over the very real issues at play in this year's general election in Canada, or whether there are more moments of high drama to come before Election Day on the 21st of October, well, we'll just have to wait and see. For Monocle in Toronto, I'm Thomas Lewis.
Since March this year, Hong Kong has been hit by some of the biggest and often most violent protests seen in recent history. Despite the original cause, a controversial extradition bill, being dropped weeks ago, they show no signs of stopping. But Chief Executive Carrie Lam has a new idea to try to calm the city-state.
Hong Kong's embattled Chief Executive Carrie Lam will fulfil her promise to initiate open dialogues this week, starting with a meeting with 150 local residents on Thursday. Saying that, Lam will address topics she believes to be root causes of the current unrest and speak on unaffordable housing, land shortage and lack of diversity, among other issues. It's been 3 months since the now-withdrawn extradition bill sparked citywide demonstrations, yet activists still take to the streets to call for all five demands, not one less. With no sound resolution or compromise on the horizon, sceptics say Lam's new platform for dialogues may well just as well be a series of long-winded monologues.
Greta Thunberg has become a global poster girl for her no-nonsense attitude to the climate crisis, most recently seen touring the United States, speaking in the run-up to the United Nations Climate Action Summit, which takes place today. She wasn't alone. Around the world, streets and parks were filled and classrooms emptied by what might be the largest climate protests yet seen. Though they were spectacular, are they really representative of a general surge in public concern? Opinion polls around the world consistently record indifference on climate. Chris Smith of Cambridge University's Naked Scientists thinks that might be about to change.
In just this week, we've had Professor Sir David King, originally the government's chief scientific officer, from the University of Cambridge when he was here, and he has gone on public record and said, I am alarmed by not just the scale, but the rate at which things appear to be moving. But if we take a step back for a minute and we think, well, you're saying people might not say they're overtly concerned about climate change, but maybe there's an underlying latent worry there. About one person in five in the UK smokes. Now, if you ask any of those people if they would prefer not to smoke, the vast majority, more like 80% of them, will say, actually, I wish I didn't smoke. If you ask them, do you think smoking's bad for you? 100% will say, well, I've heard that it's not good for my health. No. So then you say to people, well, why don't you stop then? And why did you start in the first place? And it's a bit like high blood pressure, in the sense that one of these things that has an invisible effect until the day it causes you a major problem tends to go unnoticed. It tends to be ignored. It tends to be overlooked or pushed onto the back burner. I'll worry about that tomorrow. And usually it takes some kind of cataclysmic crisis for people to then say, right, I actually want to do something about this. And, you know, the day they have their heart attack or the day they get a health scare, that's the day they throw the packet of cigarettes in the bin. And I think that what's actually manifesting now is people are beginning to see really tractable, tangible evidence that the climate is on the move. We've seen much greater intensification of storms in various places. We've seen lots of people being left homeless. We've seen very severe droughts in some parts of the world. We've got the worst droughts in Australia, for example, that they've ever had. The government's coughed up more money in the last 12 months to compensate farmers for a lack of water than we've ever had. And so there is across the world now a groundswell of people saying, well, I'm beginning to notice things are not quite what they should be. And I think people are beginning to then get behind this, and it's got momentum.
And now for a view from our editorial floor, where we look to Greece, whose hotels are being eyed up by a rather large international investor.
Watch out, Greece. The big spenders are swooping in. US private equity behemoth Blackstone, the world's largest real estate owner, is reported to be on the cusp of a 500 million euro investment binge on Greek hotel properties, according to national paper Ekatimerini. Its first purchase, part of a hotel chain with a significant island presence, is rumored to be worth almost 200 million euro and will be done by a Luxembourg-based holding company. The management will reportedly stay the same. Greece's hospitality industry has been an appealing investment option for a while, now further boosted by a new right-wing, pro-business government. But while the cash injection might sound like good news in the short run, the ultimate aim of private equity is mostly about making maximum profit as quickly as possible, hardly conducive to building a sturdy and sustainable tourism industry that outlasts the current visitor boom and thoughtfully challenges the disruption of apartment-sharing alternatives. Let's hope Greece's hoteliers think carefully before selling off the family silver.
That's all in today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website. That's monocle.com. I'm Carlotta Ribello in Los Angeles. The Monocle Minute returns on Tuesday.